Today our text is Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 14. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 14. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs, for to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Angels were very important in the Jewish religion, and this was because thousands of angels assisted in the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And this fact is stated in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 and 2. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand." The King James Version uses the word saints, which actually means holy ones or angels. In Psalm 68 verse 17 in the King James Version we read, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place." Before Stephen was stoned to death, he spoke to the high priest and the leaders of the Jews, and he said in Acts chapter 7, the message is recorded, verses 52 to 53. I just read those two verses. "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 19, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary." The theme of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation over the law of Moses. In the first three verses of the first chapter, the writer dealt with the superiority of Jesus Christ over the prophets. We looked at that in our last study. Now he deals with the important subject of angels. And this long section on angels is divided into three sections. Number one, there is proof in Hebrews in chapter 1 verses 4 to 14 of the superiority of Jesus Christ to the angels. And the proof presented consists of seven quotations from the Old Testament. Number one, the proof, Christ is superior to the angels. Hebrews 1 verses 4 to 14. Second, you find there is an appeal and an exhortation in Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 that the readers, and that includes us, we are called to pay earnest attention to what God is saying in his word regarding his son. There's a warning here. Heed the word and don't drift away. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. And then finally, there is an explanation in Hebrews chapter 2 verses 5 to 18 as to how Christ with a human body, how he could still be superior to angels who are spirits. So that's the explanation that you find why Jesus Christ is not inferior because of his humanity in Hebrews chapter 2 verses 5 to 18. Now we look at the first point, the proof Christ is superior to the angels, Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 14. Now this portion comprises quotations from the Old Testament, all of which prove the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ to the angels. And scholars tell us that the writer of Hebrews quoted from the Greek version of the Hebrew Old Testament, which is known as the Septuagint. This word Septuagint is a Greek word that actually means 70. And tradition claims that 70 men translated the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek. And that's why it's called the Septuagint. The same Holy Spirit who inspired the original text of Scripture, written in Hebrew and Aramaic, has the right to quote and restate the truth as the Holy Spirit sees fit. So let us study these affirmations that are made about our Lord Jesus Christ and the quotations that are cited to support them. Because this will help us, as we saw last time, to realize more and more who the Lord Jesus Christ is and to trust him more and more. Number one, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 5. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son." You are my son, today I have begotten you. The more excellent name that Jesus possesses is Son. The angels, collectively, they are termed the sons of God. Job 1 verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, that's the angels, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. No angel would be given the title Son individually. It belongs uniquely to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first quotation is from Psalm 2 verse 7. "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And the Apostle Paul pinpoints the time of this begetting, which means it is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This begetting is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pinpoints the time. Acts chapter 13 verses 32 to 34. "And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.'" You see, from eternity, Jesus Christ was God the Son. He humbled himself and he became man, and he shed his blood on the cross for the redemption of mankind from sin. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 8. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." In his resurrection, he glorifies that humanity received from the Father and received back that eternal glory that he had veiled when he left glory and came into this world. John 17 verse 1. "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you.'" John 17 verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So the resurrection actually declares that Jesus is God's Son. Romans chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. Concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Then you find the second quotation, which is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. Now, the immediate application of this verse in David's experience was to his son, Solomon, whom God would love and would discipline as a son. Psalm 89, verse 27. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. But the ultimate application is to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon. In Psalm 89 verse 27, the immediate application is to Solomon, and I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. But the ultimate application is to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon. Matthew 12 verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Number two, Jesus Christ is the firstborn who receives worship. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Now this term firstborn in the Bible does not always mean born first. God made Solomon the firstborn. Psalm 89 verse 27, which we just now read. Even though Solomon is listed 10th in the official genealogy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 3 verses 1 to 5. He is listed 10th in that genealogy. The title is, what does this mean? Firstborn. The title is one of rank and honor. That's what it is. It doesn't mean born first. What it means is it refers to rank. It refers to honor. The firstborn receives the inheritance and the special blessing. And Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1 verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now this term firstborn, as I said earlier, it does not refer to time, but it refers to place or status. Jesus Christ was not the first being created. He himself is the creator of all things. So how can he be the one who was the first one who was created? No, he is the creator of all things. Firstborn simply means of first importance, of first rank. That's what it means. Solomon was certainly not born first of all of David's sons. He was 10th in position. Yet he was named the firstborn. Psalm 89 verse 27 again. Firstborn of all creation means prior to all creation. Prior to all creation. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is eternal God. Colossians 1:15. He is given the title firstborn of all creation because he created all things. And he is the highest of all who came back from the dead. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. When Jesus came into the world, the angels worshipped him. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. That's quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43 in the Septuagint. Heavens rejoice with him. Let the sons of God pay him homage. That's angels. Sons of God are angels. God commanded the angels to worship him. And this proves that Jesus Christ is God. For no angel, none of God's angels will worship a mere creature. And God commands the angels to worship him because he is God. Number three, Jesus Christ is served by the angels. He is served by the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Now this quotation is taken from Psalm 104 and verse 4. I read to you first from the King James Version. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. In the ESV, we read, he makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. The Hebrew and Greek words for a spirit are also translated wind. That's why in the ESV you read, he makes his messengers winds. In King James Version it is spirits, but in the ESV it's winds. So the Hebrew and Greek words for spirits, for spirit are also translated wind. Angels are created spirits. They have no bodies. Though they can assume human forms when ministering on earth, but they are spirits. Angels at times served Jesus our Lord when he was on earth. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 11. Then the devil left him. This was at the temptation. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Again in Luke 22 verse 43. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 verse 43. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. These ministering angels serve Christ, and today they serve us. We are his children. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? I read again. Hebrews 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? That's you and me. Number four, Jesus Christ is God enthroned and anointed. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 to 9. But of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. This quotation is from Psalm 45. Psalm 45 verses 6 to 7. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Now in some false cults, this quotation from Psalm 45 verses 6 and 7 is translated, thy divine throne. This is because cultists, they dislike this strong affirmation that Jesus Christ is God. But the translation must stand. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Angels minister before the throne. They do not sit on the throne. They minister before the throne. One of the main teachings of Psalm 110 is that Jesus Christ, God's anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, is now enthroned in glory. Psalm 110 verses 1 to 7. A psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore he will lift up his head. Jesus himself is referred to in this important psalm. And in Mark chapter 12, we read, in Mark chapter 12, verses 35 to 37, and as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. So Jesus is quoting from Psalm 110. Sit at my right hand. Mark chapter 14 verse 62. And Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Again you find Peter is using this psalm on the day of Pentecost. He uses Psalm 110 in his message on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 34 to 36. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus Christ will come and he will establish his kingdom on earth. Now he is enthroned in glory. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. Ephesians 1, 20, 21. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. When Jesus Christ ascended and entered the heavenly glory, he was anointed for his ministry in heaven. He enters into glory, into his heavenly glory, after the resurrection, ascension. He enters into glory and he was anointed for his heavenly ministry with the oil of gladness. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 we read, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Now this probably refers to Psalm 16 verse 11 where it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now again, Peter refers to this at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 28. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. What a joyful scene that must have been. Christ entering into glory and being anointed with the oil of gladness. He was anointed for his heavenly ministry with the oil of gladness. In Psalm 45, actually Psalm 45 is a wedding psalm. And Jesus our Lord today, he is the heavenly bridegroom. And he is experiencing the joy that was set before him. Remember in book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 it reads, Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Angels praise him, but they cannot share that position or that joy. That is only uniquely for the Lord Jesus Christ. The throne of our Lord Jesus Christ stands forever, which means he is eternal God and the angels worship him. Number 5, Jesus Christ is the eternal creator. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 10 to 12. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. That quotation comes from Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The angels did not create the earth. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who created the earth. The angels are just like you and me. They are created beings. They did not create the earth. Jesus Christ is the creator, and one day he will do away with this old creation and he will bring in a new creation. Everything around us changes, but he will never change. That is the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. When everything around us is changing, we have with us the one who never changes. Everything around us will continue to change, but he will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Creation is like an old garment. One day it will be discarded in favor of a new garment. Revelation chapter 21 verses 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Number 6, Jesus Christ is the sovereign. Angels are the servants. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 13 to 14. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Again, the writer is quoting from Psalm 110 verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The fact that Jesus Christ is now at the Father's right hand, the place of honor, it is mentioned so many times in the New Testament. We will just go through some of those quotations in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Matthew 22 verses 42 to 44. Saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Again in Matthew 26 verse 64. Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Mark 16 verse 19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 2 verses 33 to 34. Acts 2, 33 to 34. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So he is exalted at the right hand of God. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Romans 8:34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Again in Colossians 3 verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then again in Hebrews 1 verse 3, we've read that verse. Hebrews 1 13, we've read already. Hebrews 8 verse 1. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Hebrews 10 verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22. 1 Peter 3 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities and powers having been subjected to him. So angels are the ministering spirits who serve the Lord, who is seated on the throne. But they also minister to us. We are the heirs of salvation. So they minister to us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. The angels today are serving us. They are serving the Lord in heaven and they are serving you and me today. It would be impossible to do away with the evidence that is presented in all of these quotations. Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. In chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 we saw how he is greater than the prophets. In chapter 1 verses 4 to 14 we see how he is greater than the angels. We'll continue to look at this subject in chapter 2 also. He is greater than the angels, and this means he is also greater than the law which these angels helped deliver to the people of Israel. This again is the reason why we are told to take what God is saying to us in his word seriously. We reminded ourselves of this exhortation last time. At the hour of transfiguration on the mount, the Father said of his Son, Matthew chapter 17 verse 5, he was still speaking when behold a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And you find Jesus saying in John 12:48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So let us make sure we get close to the heart of God, listening to his voice, speaking to us from his word. We get close to the heart of God, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to us from his word, and obeying him and doing his will. What a joy it is to enjoy his presence and immerse ourselves in God's plan and purpose for our lives. What a great joy. Enjoy his presence and be empowered by his spirit. Immerse yourself in doing the will of God. We have been transformed. Actually, we've been transferred from the domain of darkness. We are drawn into the kingdom of his Son, and he is transforming us from within into the likeness of Jesus Christ, his Son. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So this is why he said in John 10 verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In other words, he's saying, you were once in darkness. You were in the domain of darkness. You were held under the clutches of the evil one. Now, I have transferred you into my kingdom. How did he do that? He did that by leaving glory for us, coming into this world, taking upon himself a human body, sinless, perfect. And in that sinless, perfect body, he takes our sin and our shame and our guilt and our pain and our sorrow and our sickness. And he is wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was laid upon him. By his wounds we have been healed. By his wounds we have been healed. The word there is Rapha. Wholeness. Healing. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of light, and he gives us his life so that we can experience him, his presence, his power to be able to do his will, to bring glory to his name. And one day we will see him face to face and we will experience glory. We will be like him. So let us now, while we live on this earth as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, worship the exalted one, the Lord Jesus, and serve him with all our minds, heart, soul, and strength. He gave his very life for us, remember, that we might have life. Shall we pray?